Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
It's fantastic. I'm not concerned too much about the version of the Bible that you read, because it's about the intent of what's been written. It's not about the words on the page, it's about the intent, the thoughts that God is trying to put through to us through his word. And before he died, he came. And he was born, like most of us are born, and he was born, and God sent his only son to the earth. It's just an amazing thought. You know, here we are coming up to Christmas, and we sort of, for those of us who are Christian, we celebrate his birth. You know, about 70% of the world is Christian. That's just phenomenal. 70%. Most of Western society is based upon Christian principles. That's amazing in itself. In some ways, we're drifting away from some of those things, but the foundations of them are still firm. You know, those things that we do in our society are out of the Bible. They're Christian principles. You know, what made Christianity the foundation of our civilization? You know, from our ethics to our values to our moral codes, our whole society is based on it. What made Christianity, what made the message of Christ so powerful that it would go throughout the entirety of the Roman Empire and throughout Asia and to the uttermost parts of the earth of which we are a part? Can't get much uttermost than Australia. Matthew 24, verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." I think that the reason Christianity is so popular is because of this one phrase: open to all. To whomsoever will come. We are inclusive completely. We are not exclusive. We don't care what race, creed, we don't even care what religion you are. We'll welcome you into Christ. We are a people with hearts open and arms open wide to the whole world. And his kingdom has come. And it is progressing across the earth. There are some amazing things that have occurred just in the last 20 to 30 years. Amazing things. Yeah, so many people think that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's just not true. I know bad news sells, but it's just not true. Go and have a look at the stats. Go and check it out for yourself. Just in the last 20 years, we've halved the infant mortality rate globally. Not just Christians, but everybody. We're all working for the good, to see a better world. That's the goal. The goal is that God's kingdom would be on the earth. We're not waiting for Jesus to come so we can get the heck out of here. That's not what we're waiting for. We're waiting for his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're waiting for. So regardless of your race, your wealth, or your social status, Christianity is available to everyone. Whereas many other religious ideas are exclusive, Christianity is inclusive. We accept everyone. And I know people saying, oh yeah, but you don't accept this sort of person, don't accept that sort of person. We do accept the person. That's not true. We completely, wholeheartedly accept the person. We don't accept the sin, but we accept the person completely. And why don't we accept the sin? Because sin separates us from God. And we know that the most important thing that anybody can have in their life is a relationship with God. On Thursday, I was praying and I was just saying, God, you know, we've had a few bills and it would be really nice if a couple of Diane's paintings could sell. That would be great. Then on Friday, Diane and I were driving in the car and I reiterated again, Lord, it'd be great if some paintings could sell. So last night, of course, paintings sold. God hears our prayers. Now the world says, well, that's coincidence. Well, I want to tell you, I have so many coincidences, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Anyone else like that? Yeah. You pray and you get an answer. It's just amazing. And what amazes me the most is you can pray an off-the-cuff thought even. And the next thing you've got an answer and you go, oh, okay, you're listening. Better keep my thoughts in check. In Romans 3:22-23 it says, this righteousness, that is the righteousness of God, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, and no non-Jewish person. That's us. We are non-Jewish people, most of us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why can't I just do whatever the heck I like? Well, because it's not good for you. But I shouldn't have to listen to what God tells me I have to do. Well, if you do, you'll have a good life. Like any good father, he tells us things that are good for us. His intent is for your good. His intent is that you would prosper. His intent is that you would be in good health. His intent is that your spirit would prosper. 1 John. That is God's intent for your life. That you would have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sorry, KJV again. It's in a scripture somewhere, that's right. You know, that's God's intent for the world. There'd be no war, no pain, no suffering. A young man was sitting on a park bench one day and Jesus came down and sat next to him. He turned to Jesus and he said, why do you allow all these horrible things to happen in the world? And Jesus turned to him and said, I was just about to ask you the same question. It's up to us, church. It's up to us to do good to everyone that we can. It's important to do good while we can. The message of the gospel resonates throughout all time and to all people. It won't matter in 1,000 years. This message will still be important. The message of Jesus and what he came to say. The kingdom of God has come. Repent. Be baptized. Come to the Father. It's important. everyone wants to belong. We want our mistakes to be forgiven. You know, when Diane and I are having an argument, doesn't happen very often, but when I'm wrong, most of the time, I probably want my trespasses for her to forgive those things, because I'm just a mere mortal after all. And sometimes she does, after some time. Of repentive type reflection on my part. It's just true, isn't it? We want to be forgiven. We want it. We want our mistakes to be overlooked, because we all make them. But God doesn't see one sin above another. God doesn't grade sin. He doesn't see the thief and the murderer or the person who just stole something from their workplace and or time, value, whatever it may be, and the person who murdered somebody different. See, we don't get that. For us, we grade it. We grade the sin. Oh, look, my sins aren't too bad. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I give to the poor. I help people here and there. But I might take time from my employer or whatever it may be. It's little things. But see, God doesn't see the little things different to the big things. He's God. So through Jesus and Jesus alone, our sins are forgiven between us and God. That's the important relationship. It's good if I can keep this relationship going. But that relationship, if it's broken, I'm broken. Many people walking around with a broken relationship going this way. And they're broken on the inside. There's just something not right. I often say there's a God-sized hole in most people. In everyone, in fact. And unfortunately, it can't be filled with drink, drugs, sex, rock and roll. It can't be filled with your work. It can't be filled with doing good deeds. It can't be filled if I go and I give my life for the poor. It can't be filled by any of those things. It can only be filled by Jesus. He is it. He is that little piece of the puzzle, and nothing else fits quite in that gaping chasm like Jesus. We need Jesus. I need Jesus every single day. The message of Jesus is a positive one. It's not doom and gloom. It's not, oh, well, wait for the hell to, you know, the earth to explode and, you know, global warming will go rampant and blah, blah, blah. No, no. It's not what the Bible teaches us. We should look after the planet. We should do good things. We should move to electric cars. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. We should look after the planet we're living on. We should recycle. We should reuse where we can. We should do all of those things. We shouldn't leave our spiritual life undone while we're doing that. But the Bible tells us that He will come at some point with healing in His wings, and He will restore all things. Catch that for a second. Now, it's not that I should placate my responsibility to the planet, because he's just going to come and fix it anyway. That's not being a good steward. He'll come and He'll make an account. He'll say, what did you do with your life? Well, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. I buried 3 of them. I used 1. But I gave you 5. What did you use to build my kingdom? What did you use to build my house? How did you help people in your life? What changes did you make? The Bible tells us that if judgment begins at the house of God, where will the sinner and the unrighteous appear? They just won't. Judgment begins at us, church. Look at ourselves. Consider what we are doing, because God's message is positive. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to be free of anxiety. He wants you to be free from pain. He wants you to be free. Freedom. The kingdom of God has come, and it is advancing. It is advancing. It's going across the planet. China is having crazy conversions. You know, 10,000 a day or something stupid like that. It's going through the place like wildfire. Why? Because they're hungry for something that's real. They start to pray and they start seeing things happen. You can be all positive. You can have your positive thinking. You can go, oh, that's just good positive thoughts. Good luck with that. Doesn't work. It's good to be positive. I'm not saying you shouldn't be. But God is true and real, and he answers. That's what makes it different. He answers us. He speaks with us. He encourages us. He strengthens us. He uplifts us. He says, come on, get up, you can do it. Not me saying I can do it, he says I can do it. And I know that if he says I can, then I can. Like at the beginning of the year when Diane was at that youth conference and God said, I'm going to give you your house. From that point on, we were completely confident that that was exactly what was happening because God had said it. And it came to pass exactly as he said. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want freedom in my life. I want to be free. I'm not there yet. I'm a work in progress. We all are. I'm a work in progress. But I know that God loves me and he's moving me on. He's helping me to grow. He's helping you to grow. Most of the time it's, will we let him? Will we let him help us grow? Will we help him? Will we listen when he speaks that small, still voice? Don't go that way. He won't shout at you. He won't yell at you. He won't tell you how terrible you are. He will never do that, ever. He's a good dad. He'll just stay silent. I hear people say, oh, God doesn't speak to me. You know, he just stays silent. But when you draw near to him, when you draw close to him, when you worship, when you come into worship, it's a time to draw close to God. Jesus said at the last day that many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not prophesy? And he'll say, but I didn't know you. Get away from me, you that committed iniquity. KJV. But, you know, I don't want that. You don't want that either. You don't want to be standing before God and him go, man, I didn't even know who you were. I want him to know me and I want to know him. I want to stand there with Jesus and I want Jesus to show up and say, well done, Keith. Good job. That's what I'd like to hear. Good job. Well done. Let's get on with this thing. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Therefore God exalted him, Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, sometimes we reread this and we think, yeah, even the unbelievers will get theirs and God will force them to their knees to bow. It's wrong thinking, church. Completely. That's not the heart of God. When every knee bows, it won't be out of compulsion or because he rules with an iron fist. On the contrary, every knee will willingly, cheerfully, joyfully bow because they will realize just how much they are loved. All will know that the kingdom of God was open to all. For God so loved the earth that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe on him should have eternal life. John 3:16. If that's not the most attractive thing anybody has ever heard, I don't know what is. To have my sins forgiven, to have a God who loves me, and know that I can pray and have answers, is pretty compelling. It's pretty compelling. I would encourage you, church, over this break to go and spread the good news of Jesus to your friends, to your relatives, to strangers, it doesn't matter. God has sent out an open invitation to all who will come. There's a parable in Luke where Jesus talks about a wedding feast. And he says in Luke 14:16, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets, the alleys and of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. I would encourage you, church, to compel people into the kingdom of God. Go and speak to them, talk to them, your friends, your relatives, your neighbours. Talk to them about Jesus. It is a compelling gospel. And it is to whomever would come. We're out on Facebook as well. I'm not sure who on Facebook who may be watching us and may not know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. But I'd like to give an opportunity for you to receive him as Lord and Saviour. So we're just going to bow our heads. And if you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, I would ask you to pray after me this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you that you gave your life for me. I would ask you to forgive me for my sins, for my mistakes, and make me clean. Lord Jesus, I ask you into my life to be my Lord and Saviour, to redeem my life. Lord Jesus, as best as I am able, I will follow you from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. If you've just received Christ as your Lord and Saviour and you are on Facebook, I'd ask you to comment and tell us a little bit about yourself. And God bless you and have a fantastic week.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.